All right. Well, I wasn't supposed to teach tonight, but I think they ran through every pastor, a couple of janitors, and even somebody walking down the road, and they couldn't sign up, so they called me. So we're going to dig through this. We're talking about fasting this week, and I was talking to Talia, and I've talked to Sonia about this. It's amazing how Encounter is designed. It reminds me of the Bible in the sense that it was written by the hand of a man, by the hand of a staff, but I can tell you that this is a God-ordained teaching. This is a God-ordained, organized process. Like, the reason why we do these testimonies is because we want you to know that this thing works. It works. If it didn't work, I would not be here today. This class transformed a portion of my life that I was desperately needing transformed. And one of the things that I learned in this class was what we're going to talk about today, and it's how what fasting is and how to do it properly. Fasting is so powerful, and the reason why it's being taught right now in the middle of Encounter is because what we're about to go into the next 4 weeks, if y'all don't hear anything, hear this. The next 4 weeks is some of the most powerful, life-changing experiences and teachings that you will get to sit under in your life. And if you will apply fasting as God intended it to be, it will catapult you to where God is waiting on you. See, that's the great thing about God is God is already ahead of us in this process. He's omnipresent, which means he was before us, he's here with us now, and he's on the other side waiting. And because he's on the other side waiting, he gives us these tools along the way to reach these pinnacles. And so often, we fall short and don't reach the potential that God has in our life is because we keep his toolbox closed. Fasting is one of the most powerful tools in the toolbox that we have. This past week, I went to I took a week off of work because it was spring break, and I took my kids to the Trinity River. We love to fish. And so I've never fished out there before, so my mom and them have a camp out there. So me and the kids loaded up Wednesday in this horrible storm that come through here, and we headed to the mighty Trinity River. And so we get down there Wednesday, and we, you know, get everything put up, and we get in our boat, and we go to put out our lines and stuff. And so I did my normal routine. You know, it's work, work, work. Got to catch as many fish as we possibly can because that's just how I operate. And work, 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 work. And then we get back. And then Thursday come around. And I wake up Thursday, and I go down, and the sun's shining. And I get in the water. As I'm driving, I begin to relax. And the reason why is I realized my cell phone didn't have service. And because it didn't have service, I was able just to take and put it away in the dry box, and it wasn't even a distraction. And I would begin to do that. I begin to focus on the things that were around me. I begin to see this mighty river that God created. I begin to see wildlife. I come up on this huge bobcat that was standing. I'm going to start that timer. This huge bobcat that was standing on the bank of the river, and there was coons playing. We've seen deer everywhere. We've seen eagles, bald eagles, and we've seen these monster fish rolling through the river. And as I begin to watch that, I begin to realize that for a first time in a long time, I had disconnected from society. I was out in the middle. Does anybody know where Tennessee Colony is? One person. Thanks, Doc. Two people. Okay. A couple, well, that's how far away from there's a feed store like 30 miles from us. So if I run out of food, we're eating range cubes, okay? This is how far out and disconnected from society I was. And it was beautiful because in this disconnection come this strength, this renewing. And I began to receive vision that I had been wanting for a long time. I began to see God even more so than I had the day before. And it was because work wasn't able to call me 100 times. It's because I knew my wife was at home working, but she was safe, and I had my kids with me, and everything else that was going on in the world could wait. I had disconnected myself from society, and as I did that, I began to automatically, naturally, because I am saved and I am a child of God, draw closer to him. I began to draw closer to his nature and who he is. And I began to see God in a mighty, mighty way. And we was there that Thursday. I was pulling back up on the boat ramp. And this old man that lives down there, he come up and said, "Creek's going to rise 12 foot tonight." I said, "What?" He said, "Creek's going to rise 12 foot tonight." I said, "This thing ain't going to rise 12 foot tonight." He says, "Okay." I come down the next morning to go run my lines, come up 14 foot in 24 hours. And as I sat there and watched that, I just smiled because I seen how powerful in that instant God's hand is. And I don't think I'd have saw it if I wasn't disconnected from everything else that keeps my mind, this information highway that my brain runs through so much. I was disconnected from the busy schedule of being a parent. I was disconnected from having to be a husband and having to be a boss and disconnected from having to be at ministry and to do these things. And the reason I tell you that story is because that reminds me a lot about fasting. When we look at fasting, fasting is really at its core a disconnection from all of this junk so that through prayer we can connect to this power source. So let's look at our notes. What is a fast? In its purest form, fasting is the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specific period. The spiritual discipline of fasting combined with prayer, that's so important, is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. Fasting without prayer is just dieting or starving yourself. Hear this. This is our first fill in the blank. Prayer is connecting to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. Just as I disconnected from society, unknowingly, I drew closer to God. And I had an opportunity to sit at the foot of my Father on this mighty river and see my Father's hand at work. Fasting is the same way. When we choose as believers to open this toolbox up and pull out this mighty powerful tool of fasting, and we separate ourselves from the world by abstaining from food or something that pleases the flesh, and through prayer connect to our power source, that's what fasting is. And fasting is throughout the Bible. And it is so powerful. And that is what we're fixing to go through. So let's look at four kinds of fast. Number one, the complete fast. The complete fast is going without food for a definite period. The duration can be one or more days. This is when you abstain from all food. You still have water, but you abstain from all food. And it needs to be at least for a day. It could be more, but I say at least for a day. In Judges 20 and 26, it says, "Then the Israelites, all the people, went up to Bethel. And there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offering to the Lord." Biblical fasts were held for 1 day, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, and even 40 days. The absolute fast is going without food or water and should be short. So you have the complete fast, that's going without food for a day or more, determining upon the schedule that you set. And then you have the absolute fast, and that is abstaining from all food and water for a period of time. Moses did the absolute fast, and Moses' 40-day fast would kill anyone without supernatural intervention. So the reason why that this is in here is because a 40-day fast without food and water is almost physically impossible. It needs to be a God-ordained thing to do a 40-day fast. So if you've never fasted before and you think you're called to a 40-day fast, it ain't God calling you to that fast, okay? Jesus did it, but Jesus is Jesus. Moses did it, but Moses was, he got to see and talk to God. It was a different era, a different time, and that, so if, even if you're a seasoned fast and you fast regularly, if you're called to a 40-day absolute fast, please, please, please test the Spirit, because we do not want to come pick you up from your house on a gurney. Make sure you test that spirit, okay? Fasting is not how extreme it is, and we're going to get to this. It's truly the condition of the heart, okay? Number two, the selective fast. The selective fast includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. John the Baptist, he eat locusts and honey all the time. And then there's Daniel with his three friends, and they practice selective fasting. Selective fasts are ideal for people who have hypoglycemia or other health issue needs. This is how brilliant God is. He has a selective fast because this is a fast that you can really create or custom design for your life. So if you have health issues, you can use this fast to custom design because it should not, a fast will never bring your health to where it's in danger. God's not going to danger our life by fast. So the selective fast allows us to custom design our fast if we have health issues. Number three, this is a partial fast. A partial fast involves avoiding all or certain foods periodically. Example, one may choose to fast a certain meal each day for a period of time. A partial fast could be a rotational plan for fasting. One may choose to fast during a certain day each week indefinitely. A partial fast, to me, should be part of our everyday life, our weekly life. This is something that we should do often. It says in the Bible, it says when we pray and when we fast. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But when we pray and when we fast. So we're called to fast more than once. Partial fast allows us to fast continuously throughout the week. So it may be like on a Tuesday where you say, you know what? I'm going to wake up Tuesday morning. I'm not going to eat Tuesday. I'm going to take this time and I'm going to really press in and talk to God. It keeps us connected. It keeps us on point and keeps us keyed in with God. And so when it becomes a lifestyle and it becomes a habit, fasting becomes easier, but we stay more connected to God. It's like exercising. When you exercise a couple days a week, my wife took off like 5 days from exercising, and then she went back to the gym and she threw up everywhere. The reason why is because she took 5 days off. If she would have stayed in it, now if I was to go work out right now, I would throw up everywhere too because I worked out so long. But if you do it over and over, it becomes part of your lifestyle, becomes part of your routine. And a partial fast is so vital and so important, and that allows us to do this in our weekly routine. And then the fourth one is a soul fast. A soul fast is based around a theme in your life or specific situation. This can be fasting something other than food to remind you of the thing that needs to be tempered or removed from your life or situation. Example, social media, electronic devices, sleeping in, TVs, hobbies, etc. So I fasted social media 2 years ago. I've never turned it back on. And I'm not knocking social media. But 2 years ago, I turned it off during a fast through Encounter. And it blew my mind how much time I spent doing this with my phone every time I stopped. Chris Henson shared this with me here a while back. And I want to read this to you. Just think about this. What if we begin to, and I'm not knocking cell phones, I've got one here. It's a great tool. Facebook can be a great tool. All of these can be a great tool, but just hear me on this. What if we begin to treat our Bibles the way we treated our cell phones? What if we carried it with us everywhere? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it? What if we checked it for messages throughout the day? What if we use it in case of emergencies? And what if we spend an hour or more each day using it? What would our lives look like? What if we applied that to our time with God? What if we applied that to fasting? If we took and treated our relationship and our walk and our fasting and our prayer time with God like we treat our cell phone, how much more further along would all of us be in our walk with Christ? Think about that, because we do not leave the house without our cell phone. We will turn around and go get it. And we do check it over and over and over. I was the world's worst until I seen just how much time was spent scrolling. I'd scroll the same thing just because it was a habit. If we turn that habit forming into habit forming of reading the Word and seeking God in prayer, it would change our life and society. So next, let's look at what does fasting do for the believer? What does fasting do for the believer? Well, Jesus modeled and taught believers a lifestyle of fasting. He is our example. If Jesus Christ, who walked around, who taught the Word of God, who performed miracles, who walked on water, who spent his whole entire day in life doing the will of the Father, understood the importance of disconnecting himself from that to go spend time with his Father to spiritually connect, how much more important is it for us to do it? If Jesus Christ is our model in fasting, if he's what we're called to model after, and this is the idea we're to look at when it comes to fasting, how much more important is it for us to fast? If Jesus Christ did it, he took time out of miracles and preaching the word in the commission and got alone by himself and spent time and reconnected with his Father. Matthew 4 and 2, it says, after he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. That's Jesus in the desert. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights when he was being tempted. The only thing that he had was him and his Father to get him through that. That's powerful. And he didn't eat until it was completed. And then it says, like we talked about a while ago, Matthew 6, 5 and 16, it says, when you pray and when you fast. This is not an if. This is when we do it. This is a call. This is a petition. This is a call to action for believers to pray and to fast. So what does fasting do? Number one, it eliminates confusion and it brings clarity. The Apostle Paul in Acts 9 through 19, this is fasting for insight and decision making. Fasting gets us what we want, what we are thinking, and what we are feeling out of the way so that we can tune in and clearly hear what God is saying. I want to stop right there just for a second. If y'all look in your Bible, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 9 and 19. I want to show you something. So if you look at verse 5, this is where Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. It says his encounter with Christ. Every one of us in here tonight are here because we want to encounter Christ more. Paul encounters Christ in verse 5. Okay? When he encounters Christ and he realizes who he is, God makes him blind. He removes his vision. And I think this is so important, so parallel, so powerful. The reason why I believe he removed his vision and made him blind is because Paul was looking in the wrong direction. Paul was not focused on Jesus Christ. He was focused on destroying him. He wasn't focused on love and compassion and forgiveness. He was focused on what he thought was right. He had to be blinded in order to have his vision restored. And in verse 9, if you look at verse 9, where's my Bible? In verse 9, he did not eat or drink anything. So for 3 days, Paul fasted. And then if you look in verse 12, what does it say he did? Or in verse 11, it says Paul was praying. He encounters Christ. He has his vision taken away from him. He begins to pray and he begins to fast. Verse 12, God gives him a vision of a man, Ananias, coming to heal him of his blindness. So God has begun to restore his vision. He has begun to restore his sight. And in verse 18, he gains his spiritual sight. And in verse 19, he ate and regained his strength. He encountered Christ, lost his vision, fasted, prayed, regained a new vision. And if you go back to verse 15, God tells Ananias, he says, this is my chosen instrument. I am looking at a room full of God's chosen instruments right now. Just as Paul was God's chosen instrument to go teach the good news to the Jews and Gentiles alike, everybody in here tonight is an instrument for the kingdom. It's an instrument to go and teach the good news, to spread the gospel through love and peace and hope and the way we live our life. And some of us need our vision to change just as Paul did. And in the middle of that, Paul was praying and fasting. God changed his vision so that no longer did he see Paul and what Paul thought was right, but he seen the will of the Father. And when he seen the will of the Father, what did he do? He went out and was the greatest apostle to ever put on or strap on a pair of sandals and wrote almost half the New Testament. That's the power of prayer and fasting. It eliminated the confusion in Paul's life. God blinded him. He blinded the confusion. He brought new vision, and it allowed him to see clearly what his purpose was. Number two, removes obstacles. This is Daniel's breakthrough fast. Daniel was in a 21-day warfare for Gabriel the archangel, who was sent to bring the answers to his request. Satan forms obstacles to God's plan for our lives. Fasting and prayer somehow enables those who work on our behalf in the spirit realm to defeat and destroy those plans. So there's a Daniel fast. It's a 21-day fast. Daniel's fasting for 21 days. And a man comes to Daniel and he says, for 21 days, he said, I've been trying to get here. He said, the minute you started praying and fasting, God heard. The minute you started praying, he heard your prayers. He said, I've been trying to get here. He said, I got into a fight on the way. God supernaturally sent the Michael, the archangel, and he says, here I am, and here is the answer to your prayer. You will face opposition when you pray and fast. Okay? You're going to face opposition. But praying and fasting removes the obstacles in your life that you're trying to seek. The goal that you're looking for from Christ, when you're following and seeking his will and you're praying and fasting, it removes the obstacles that are keeping you from seeing what needs to be seen. Daniel was looking for an answer. For 21 days, he prayed and fasted. 21 days. You cannot give up. You have to press forward. You have to keep going. You cannot get discouraged. 21 days, he's waiting. God, where are you at? 21 days, he presses in. He doesn't eat meat. He doesn't eat any kind of rich food. He doesn't drink wine. He is pressing in. He is separating himself from the world, and he is connecting himself to God. And 21 days later, he said, man, I've been trying to get here. The enemy has done everything he could do to stop us. He says, but there's always a but with God. He says, but God made a way. That's what prayer and fasting does. It removes the obstacles in our life so that we can see what God's calling us to see. Number three, strengthens the spirit and weakens the flesh. This is Daniel's famous fast. This was his 10-day diet challenge. So just as diet and exercise bring strength and healing to the body, so fasting and prayer bring strength and brings health to the spirit. And a habitual lifestyle of fasting can help ensure our ability to walk in the Spirit daily and maintain spiritual health. It simultaneously weakens the sinful flesh. The last class we talked about walking in the Spirit. We talked about God's reverse economics effect. When we are weak in Him, we receive strength. So when we deny and weaken our flesh, through fasting and through prayer, we spiritually are strengthened in Christ. We become stronger. See, God, that's how we battle the enemy, is not through flesh and blood, but it's through the Spirit. It's through prayer. And when our prayer and our spiritual walk is strengthened through denying our flesh and weakening our flesh, we become stronger in this battle against the enemy. That's what's so powerful about God's reverse economic design. So we become weaker in order to become stronger. I love that. And then number four, softens the soil of our heart. If you study Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58 shows you how to fast, and then he shows you the condition. He shows you how not to fast, and then he talks about the condition of the heart and what he wants and what a fast looks like. It is hard to pull up roots from dry, hard soil. As rain softens the hard, dry ground, making it easier for the roots to be pulled out completely, so fasting and prayer makes for the easy removal of weeds and all that is robbing us from reaching our potential. The condition of our heart, guys, is so important when we come into this fast. If we're fasting for success, if we're fasting for financial gain, if we're fasting to catapult ourselves, we're fasting for the wrong reason. Fasting is about connectivity to Christ and what God's will is. If you're not fasting for God's will, you're just dieting. We have to be fasting in God's will, and that takes a softening of the heart. And that softening of the heart comes through fasting and through prayer. He begins to condition the heart so that we can get us out of the way and what we want out of the way and our desires out of the way, and it allows to put God in the game where we can see and receive His will for our life. And at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. Even though times that we don't know it, that's what we want is God's will for our life. We think we want our will, but if we knew the destruction that our will would bring us like God does, we would truly understand how important it is to seek God's will. And when we're seeking God's will, it conditions our heart that we may receive it. We have to be able to receive His will. And with a softened heart, we can. And number five, it brings results. Fasting works. Look at all of the, there are so many different stories in the Bible of praying and fasting. And see, look at the results in it. It's not something that we just come up with. This is a biblical application and a biblical principle that works. Jesus did it because it worked. Paul did it because it worked. Jehoshaphat did it because it worked. Daniel did it because it worked. Esther did it because it worked. If you look at Moses did it because it worked. If you look at the biblical stories, you see the result, and the ending result is answered prayer and vision from Christ to see what God is wanting them to see. So remember this. Prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. So when you pair prayer plus fasting, it equals results. So the combination of prayer and fasting should bring results. I'm going to reread that just for a second. The combination of prayer and fasting for God's will and not our own should bring results. Fasting without prayer is a diet. You might as well go and sign up for Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or whatever they do now. That's all fasting is without prayer. But when you pair fasting and separation from the things we desire and connect it to our power source, there are mountains that can be moved. Lisa, how much time do I have? About 2 years ago, me and my wife knew it was time for a physical move in our life. 2 years ago. And we prayed about it, we thought about it, and we prayed about it, we thought about it, and nothing ever changed. And I remember there was frustrating nights at our house because we didn't really like where we lived. It wasn't convenient. It was a two-bedroom with five people. It was tough. And through Encounter, we learned how to pray and fast right. And about a year ago, we began to pray and fast for what God, what's your will? And we got to the point where we said, you know what? If you want us to stay here forever, we'll be right here and we'll be joyful. We just want your will for our lives, for our family. And we began to pray and fast together as a couple for what our next move was. And lo and behold, these two crazy people walk into our life. And Whitney told me 8 months before we ever moved into their house, she said, those people, they're going to bless us somehow. There's something about the Bonners. There's something, God's got something more for us with them other than friendship. She told me, I know that they're going to bless us somehow. And I said, okay, that's great. So we become really good friends with the Bonners, with Sonia and Bubba, and we love them to death, amazing people, amazing leaders. And throughout this process, and they had a house right here on 706, and Bubba had no desire to move. He loved it. Amen. No desire. He didn't. And he told me that. And so they even went as far as to buy a piece of property across the road, and they called and said, hey, we're going to do this. What do you think about this? Man, we got all excited. Wow. Y'all are going to do this. It'll fit our family. We'll be neighbors, and me and Bubba can hang out, and, you know, Sonya can ground me still. And the deal fell through. Just like that. And I was like, oh, hang on, God, what do we do? And I remember God saying, you told me you'd stay no matter what. And I said, you're right, and I haven't got my answer yet. We continue to pray and fast. And through that prayer and through that fasting, lo and behold, this real estate guru in Sonya told Bubba, she said, you know what, I want to buy another house. They bought a house about 3 miles from us, and the house that Bubba refused to leave, they completely redid it for us, and now my family lives there, and it was a parallel shift, didn't cost us an extra dime to move. It just cost me a lot of barbecue to feed some of these big boys that moved my furniture. Appreciate you, Jim. See me after class. That's what prayer and fasting does, and the reason I tell you that is because I need you to understand that it works. It is a tool that is in our toolbox that is priceless, and it works for every area of our life if we're seeking God's will with the right heart and the right intention. I'm going to close this out in prayer, and Zane, you come up. Gracious Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that we can come into your house tonight, Lord. And God, we can open up your toolbox. And God, you don't just have one tool for us. God, you have a tool for every area of our life that, God, if we're willing to take out of the toolbox and apply, that, God, you'll move mountains in our life and you'll give us insight and clarity and you'll remove obstacles, Father, and you'll overcome the enemy. And God, I just pray as we continue this teaching on this amazing tool that you designed for your children, God, that we open up our hearts and we receive this mighty tool, God, and that we don't just receive it, stick it back in the toolbox and go about our week. But God, we take this tool out and we see how powerful and strong is it, God, and we apply it. We apply it to our lives. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Justin. It's really good, really powerful. Yeah, go ahead and give him a hand. That's really good. Probably one of the most powerful preachings I've ever heard on fasting. It's really impressive. So real quick, let me see what our schedule needs to look like here. Let's take 5 minutes, 10. Oh, okay, we'll give you 10. Okay, so go and take 10 minutes. Going before we kick off on this big fast, you go in there, stuff your face, cram in all the snacks you can get. Because yeah, it's gonna be tough. No, I'm kidding. Just go ahead, eat up, and be back here in 10 minutes. Thank you. Now that you got your food and your snacks, you know, go ahead and start chowing down, but you can't snooze, okay? It's just a snack. You didn't go through a meal, no 2 o'clock nap kicking in here, nor a 7 o'clock nap either. So I think, again, honestly, that was some of the best teaching on fasting I've ever heard. I think Justin really hit it, the nail on the head on empowering us showing us the value of fasting. Why is it important? One, God commands, but here's what he can do to help you. This next session is we're going to focus on, okay, now that we're all bought in on understanding, hey, this is what it can do, this is why God says to do it, here's the results from it, da-da-da-da. Okay, how do I do it now? What's a fast that's appropriate for me? So now Justin's going to go into that and talk about it.
The next section we're going to go over, thank you, love, is in Appendix C. If you want to turn your books to Appendix C. Mine's on page 45. I don't know if that matches everybody else's. 41? Page 41. Thank you, Dan. So in the first session, we talked about different kinds. I'm sorry, does anybody need an Appendix C? Or does everybody have? We're good? Okay. So in the first section, we really talked about the different kinds, and we showed some what fasting does. And I really want to reiterate not just the power of fasting, But the dire importance of it, the importance of truly taking this tool and truly applying it to our life and truly getting to that threshold, across that threshold, to the next level of what God has for each and every one of us. Does everybody in here tonight, be honest, truly know and believe that God has more for them? If you do, raise your hand. So everybody in here desires more from Christ, right? Desires a deeper, stronger relationship with Jesus. Desires for God to show them more in their life and receive this clarity and this vision and have these obstacles removed. Are we in agreement? So everybody in here truly needs to draw in and understand the importance of what we're talking about. We've talked about the different kinds of fast. We talked about some what fasting does. Now we're going to show you how to do it. This section changed my life. And just so you know, it's not just me that it changed. Sonia Bonner. It changed Sonia Bonner's life. To me, she's one of the most valiant, beautiful, strong leaders I've ever served under. My wife says she has special powers, and I believe that. Superpowers. It changed her. So I don't want y'all to think that this is just something that I've come up with as some inspirational speech, because it's not. This stuff works. Okay? If you look at Appendix C, there's the four kinds of fast. We've already gone over that. I'm not going to go back over that. There's also a section on abusive fasting. We're not going to go over that. And on the back page, there's some fast in the Bible. Those are there for y'all. We put that in this book so you would have the tools when you go home, that if you said, what did that big old boy say? He talks so fast and he's so country. What did he say? You can go back in here and you can see what I yammered about. All the different types of fast, because we're going to do an exercise here in a little bit that allows you to write your own fast out. But when you get home, I encourage you, don't take this book and put it on a shelf. I have three or four of these books. I keep every one of them. I use them all the time. When I get ready to fast, I go back and refer to this book, because there's so much knowledge and there's so many things that I'd have missed this little point right here if I wouldn't have went back and looked. So I encourage you to draw into this book and use these tools. But right now, we're going to talk about seven basic steps for effective fasting and prayer. How you begin and conduct your fast will largely impact your experience and the results of your fast. I'm going to say that again. If you have a highlighter, if you need to put a star beside it, hear this. How you begin and conduct your fast. This thing is something thought out and prepared. This isn't a whim. This isn't something we just shoot from the hip on. How you begin and conduct your fast will largely impact your experience and the results of your fast. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm going to take away some groceries out of my diet, and I'm going to pray during that time, I'm going to do it right, because I want to see results. I don't want to just do it to do it. I want and need to see results, and God says, you know what, you can do that because you're mine. And he says, and I'll show up. I'll do my part if you condition your heart and do your part. Step one, set your objective. If you do not know what your objective is, if you do not know why you're fasting and what you're fasting for, then you don't know why you're fasting and what you're fasting for. Set your objective. My daughter has dealt with anxiety as a product of our divorce. I'll just be transparent. Y'all know me. I'll tell you anything. And I never realized anxiety. I thought anxiety was a cop-out. It's real. It really is. Am I right, Dr. Cardi? She deals with anxiety when it comes to her studies, and my daughter is brilliant. But this anxiety robs her of stuff. So me and my wife, knew that we needed a express lane of Jesus to change this. An express lane we needed, and Jesus, we needed to put this obstacle in our life in the express lane over here so that God could show up and do what only He can do. And we set the objective to pray and fast TV at night. I love to sit and watch TV with my wife, okay? We work all the time. We're busy. We come home. I cook like a beast. I really do. I'm opening a restaurant one day. It's just a little plug for my restaurant. And I love to sit down with my wife and eat dinner and watch TV, okay? And we turn the TV off two nights a week. And during that time, we reconnected with each other and we prayed over our daughter. That was our objective, okay? To pray and fast for the deliverance of my daughter's anxiety. We have set our objective. We know what we are doing this for. So now we have vision. We have a purpose. How many of you know in here that when you're doing something and you don't have a purpose, it really doesn't mean that much? But buddy, when you have a purpose on the other end, man, there's some drive behind that. That purpose is your objective. Number two, make your commitment. Matthew 6, it says, for Jesus, it was a matter of when believers would fast, not if they would do it. You have to make a commitment. It's kind of like Liz was talking about working out a while ago. It's kind of like this retreat. It's kind of like what Pastor Jeremy said. You'll get out of it what you put into it. You will get out of fasting what you put into it. If you're not willing to commit to it, don't even do it. It's not effective half-heartedly. Just like dieting is detrimental to your body if you just kind of diet. Fasting and prayer takes a commitment, and when you make that commitment, brother, you better stick to it. Jesus did. You think about the commitment Jesus made to us on the cross, and He stuck to it. What if He wouldn't have? Boy, we'd be in a world of hurt right now other than talking about fasting. Make a commitment and stick to it. How long will you fast? Will it be one meal, one day, whatever it may be? Beginners should start slowly and building up to longer fasts. What type of fast is God directing you to undertake? Determine and write down the details of your fast. Identify what you are fasting specifically and what your fast will look like each day. What physical or social activities you will restrict. How much time each day you will devote to prayer and God's Word. Making these commitments ahead of time will help you sustain your fast when physical temptations and life pressures tempt you to abandon it. My wife just came off of a fast 2 weeks ago. Sonia can't account for this. She fasted dinner, supper, three nights in a row. Bubba and them did burgers one night at a meeting, and I cooked two big old meals at the house, and she never touched it. And I even said, are you not going to eat? She said, no. She made a commitment. I'm going to tell you what. God showed up too. You have to make the commitment. She knew what she was going to fast. She knew what she was going to do. She made a commitment and she stuck to it. And guess what? God stuck to it too. Make your commitment. Beginners, listen. I talked about this a while ago on the 40-day fast. Beginners, it is not... Beginners, if you've done this for your whole life, whatever, it's not how big your fast is. It's the intentionality and the purpose and the condition of your heart behind that fast. And if you want to see Jesus Christ move in your life, you're in the right class. If you don't want Jesus Christ to move in your life, you're going to hate this class and you're going to hate fasting, I promise. But when you make that commitment, make a commitment that you can do. Do not set yourself up for failure. Do not go in there and say, shoot, I got 40 days. I ate this big old meal at Golden Corral. You won't make it 2 days, I promise. Start small, end big. Because in the whole time, whether you're starting small, ending big, the whole thing's about Jesus anyway. He's the one doing the work. You're just giving up the sacrifice. Start small, end big. Number three, to me this is the most important one, prepare yourself spiritually. The very foundation of fasting and prayer is repentance. Unconfessed sin can hinder your prayers. Here are several things you can do to prepare your heart. Number one, the very first one, and I think this is the most important one, remember that God is your Father and He loves you and He is for you. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to know the natures of God, and God is on your side. He is rooting you on. He is for you, and know that God will do His part. God is who He says He is, and we are not fasting to some weak little God. We are fasting to the Creator of creation. Okay? He knows how to make things happen. For 6 days, He did it beautifully. He made me. He has a sense of humor. He is powerful in everything that He does, and He is so loving that He created you, Danielle. He created you to be powerful and to be an Esther. Yeah. Jim, Mark, He created y'all to be Pauls. He created everybody in here for a purpose, to do His commission, to do what Paul was called to do what Esther was called to do what Deborah was called to do what Sarah was called to be these mountains and these warriors and these giants for the kingdom, and you cannot do it successfully without prayer and fasting. It will not work. It's like going to a baseball game and leaving your bat at the house. You can do it partially, but you will not succeed. You got to have all the tools. Use this tool. Prepare yourself spiritually. The next one, confess every sin that the Holy Spirit calls you to remembrance and accept God's forgiveness. How do we hear from the Holy Spirit? How do we hear from the Holy Spirit? Through what? Prayer. How do we prepare spiritually? All at once. We pray. Spend time in prayer. Don't just sign up for the fast. Don't just go through there and put your finger on one and say, I'm going to do the Daniel fast. You can do the Daniel fast, you better be prepared. You better spiritually be prepared, because it's tough. But man, it's rewarding. You have to spend time in prayer and seek out the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak to you for forgiveness, repentance, restitution. He may call you to go and forgive a friend. He may call you to go do this or do this. Do these things. And I promise you, if you'll seek the Father out, seek the Holy Spirit out in preparation for this, He will make a way and He will show you these areas that you need to deal with so that you can be successful in this. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit according to His command in Ephesians. Surrender your life fully to Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. Refuse to obey your worldly nature. Listen, if you're living in absolute utter sin and you know you're living in utter sin, you can't live in utter sin on the left hand and go fasting and praying on the right hand and expect it to work. It doesn't. It's like going to the gym and working out and then walking over to the Tokyo Steakhouse and smashing on some fried rice. It does not work. It doesn't. You cannot live in this oblivious, this obvious sin in your life and expect this to work. And I'm preaching on this because you need to understand the importance and the power that this is for you and your life. And in this process, this encounter process, going through, doing what we're called to do, if you want to receive what Jesus Christ has for you at the end of this process, you have to do this and do this properly. Meditate on the attributes of God, His nature, His love, His sovereignty, His power. Begin your time of fasting and prayer with an expected heart. Expect big things from God. Expect God to show up. He wants you to expect Him to show up. You have an expectant heart to God and you expect God to show up, God will show up. The last one, do not underestimate spiritual opposition. Satan sometimes intensifies the natural battle between body and spirit. You will come into opposition, but count it joyful. Count it joyful. If you don't come into opposition on your fasting and prayer time, you might want to go recheck your fasting and prayer time. I promise. Somebody's going to have a party, or somebody's going to slide a piece of pizza underneath your nose, or something great's going to happen on Insta, Face, Graham, Book Who, that you're going to need to see, and you're going to need to see what this star's doing, or what new famous person had a baby, or who got what king from Egypt over in England got married, and the enemy's going to throw these things out at you. You're going to be tested. I mean, if you think your testing's too tough, go read about what Jesus dealt with in the desert. That's tough there, huh? Step four, prepare yourself physically. Prepare yourself physically. You have to begin to start like, who in here loves coffee? That's what I'm talking about. Where's my coffee drinkers? Okay. Danae's hot tea. Let's not leave Danae out. Miss Teresa, I know you like, Miss Trish, I know you like some coffee. If you're going to go fast coffee, don't just pour your pot out. All right? You may want to just slowly work into it, because I know you'll be on your husband's head when he come off the road driving that truck if you don't drink a little bit of coffee. Prepare yourself physically. Mark, I know you like them cakes that Justin be cooking down there. All right? I know you're down at that bakery all the time. You might want to wean yourself off a little bit at a time, okay? All right? Because if you go home with attitude, now Teresa may put them hands on you. I know that. Prepare yourself physically, though. You have to gradually do it. This is a process. This is something that we're encouraging you to do now and the rest of your spiritual walk. So if we're wanting you to do it now and the rest of your spiritual walk, prepare yourself to do it properly. Now listen, I hate cauliflower with everything that's in me. I'm pretty sure it's the vegetable of the devil. I despise it. I think the color's ugly. I think it smells bad. It shouldn't be allowed. They try to sneak in cauliflower rice. They're not fooling me, okay? And so for me to prepare myself physically for a fast, if I say, you know what, I'm going to skip a meal, I'm going to cut out cauliflower this week, that doesn't work, guys, okay? You have to truly prepare yourself physically in the sense of removing these things that you're going to fast and do it right. Step five, put yourself on a schedule. My work schedule, I start at 4:30 in the morning. And so when I usually fast a meal, I fast breakfast because that's my main meal of the day. That's when I spend time with God, because it's easy for me to fast lunch. It's easier for me to fast dinner because I try to go to bed early. But so breakfast time is my toughest because, you know, I'm already up and my day is active. So find that time of day you're going to do it. Put yourself on a schedule. And listen, all of these things, your commitment, how you're going to prepare spiritually, how you're going to do it physically, and your schedule, you need to put it where you can see it. I walk into my wife's bathroom all the time, and she has it wrote all over the mirror. And magic Sharpie eraser thing. She sees it every day. It's the reason it's there. Or she'll take and put it on her clear case on the back of her phone, and she can see what she's... So put this somewhere where you see it daily so it reminds you of what you're doing. So put yourself on a schedule. Step six, end your fast gradually. When you come off of your fast, it's like if you're fasting sugar, I would not encourage you to run down to Dairy Queen and jump on a blizzard. End it gradually. That may put you into cardiac arrest. Ashley, Benson. End it gradually, okay? This is not about how extreme you can be. This is not about how tough you can be. This is not about how much you can endure. This is about the condition of your heart and disconnecting yourself from something and the prayer to God. And then number seven, expect results. Expect results. Guys, that's a great thing to me about God, is you have to, we get to expect results from these tools that He gives us. We expect results from prayer. We expect results from fasting and prayer. We expect results from from Thanksgiving prayers and different types of prayers. We expect results from the things that God calls us to do. We expect that as we study the Bible, that God begins to reveal His Word. As we seek the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit begins to show Himself to us. We can expect this because God calls us to. Hey, do this right. Take it serious. But the awesome thing about it is I know that everybody in here tonight is looking for God for something. That's why you're here. That's why you're here tonight. It's because you need something from God. You want and desire something from God. I am fasting for something right now I've been fasting for a month. And I haven't got the answer yet. But you know what? I know who God is. I know He's sovereign. And I know He is already on the other end of this thing waiting. And He's saying, hang on, Justin, I got you. I need you to see a couple more things. I'm gonna you keep pressing into me. You keep leaning unto me. And as we begin this fast for my daughter, we set a goal, okay? We knew what our goal was. We set a goal. We set our objective. Then we committed to doing that until we seen something change in my daughter's life. We made that commitment. And we prepared ourselves spiritually in the sense that we prayed about it and we had friends pray for us about it. And we got together as a couple and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And we prepared ourselves, we implemented it, and we did not quit. And you know what? My daughter don't battle it like she used to. My daughter is learning to deal with his anxiety in her life. My daughter spoke to another girl Saturday night at my house and at her house who was dealing with anxiety to the point this person was trying to hurt herself. That's what prayer and fasting does. I didn't do nothing except for turn the power over to God. I turned the power over to my Father. I turned the access to Him, give Him the reins and tossed Him the reins, and I did what He called me to do, and I made this commitment. I set a schedule with my wife, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I began to see it change. And you know what? I ain't stopped yet. Because my daughter will be delivered from this completely. Completely. So the next thing we're fixing to do, guys, is we're fixing to let you write out your fast. At your table host, they've been through this. Hopefully they have all the answers. If not, we'll ask Sonia. Now, we want y'all to, in the back of your book, we want you to take time to set your objective, write out your commitment, determine the type of fast, determine what physical or social activities you will restrict. I would write out things that you're going to do to prepare yourself spiritually, what you're going to do to prepare yourself physically, and then I would write at the bottom what you expect out of it, what results that you want from this. And we're going to take about 15 minutes to do this, and if you have any questions, your table hosts are there. Ask questions. This is an interactive thing, so get with your table hosts. Y'all begin to write this thing out. Let's do this. And hey, listen, I would take this thing very seriously, guys, very seriously. And the reason why I say take this thing very seriously is because as we move forward in this class, as we begin to dig into strongholds and we begin to dig into generational hand-me-downs and spiritual warfare and begin to deal with the things that the enemy does not want you to see or know, we begin to experience freedom in areas that we have never experienced freedom before, that we have longed and yearned for our entire life, maybe for us, for a spouse, for a child, for a friend, you're going to need prayer and fasting. I cannot reiterate and nail that to you enough. This has to be part of your weaponry moving forward in this class. Y'all get started.
Let's take a few moments, recap real quick. So one thing I thought that was really cool, it was in between all the sessions. Bubba was coming up, and we were talking, and just to hit on it a little bit, but just to reemphasize it, the point a little bit, is, you know, Justin shared the story, right, about how they were looking for a house, and, you know, they were fasting and praying, and little did they know, you know, Bubba and Sonia entered their lives, and eventually they received a great blessing from that. But then Bubba shared, he said, you know, Justin and Whitney, they were fasting for, you know, this kind of breakthrough that they needed. But as they were fasting, it affected Bubba and Sonia too, right? It didn't just affect Justin and Whitney and their needs and impacted them. It actually impacted another life as well. And so that's something to think about too, is with what we're doing here. You know, obviously we talked about, like, hey, what's better ways we can connect to God, disconnect from the world? Obviously it's very intimate, personal things that you're talking about, fasting and whatnot. But at the same time, with what you're doing, it could potentially impact other people in your life as well on what you're praying for, right? So it's not just individually that you're looking inward. It's going to affect others as well, right? So it's very important to think about that and remember that. But anyway, I do want to make sure, work with your table leaders on any questions that might come up. If you're still struggling with what to give up, there's some good discussion at our table and like, hey, what are some things I can, you know, give up or do versus not do? You know, just work with your table leaders. We can get that addressed, no problem. But was this a good session or what? I'm telling you, it was awesome. Justin. All praise, Justin Lindsay, man, that was awesome. Very, very good. So how about we wrap this up, right? Okay, let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you so much for the time we were able to share here, the fellowship we were able to just come to these tables and connect. And not only connect with each other, but connect to you, Father. We are so just, again, thankful for the time we had, but also we feel so empowered now with what we now know and have learned, maybe even clarified. Perhaps there was some confusion or deception that Satan brought into our minds of whenever we thought about fasting, and it just wasn't for me. You know, God, I'm so grateful that you have now cleared our minds from that confusion. And now that we understand the value and the results that are going to come from it, God, we are so thrilled to be able to take on this journey, this path, because, God, we are expecting results from this, God, not only from the fasting that we are going to do, but for what it's going to prepare us for in the weeks to come within this class, God. We give you all the praise and the glory. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, and we say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Drive safe.